Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. After decades of underspending, Europe is finally rearming. Those are the words that greet you on the website of the Future of European Defence, UCITS ETF, a name that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. But as anyone who has looked at offshore ETFs in any level of detail will know, a snappy stock ticker is never far away. Sure enough, this ETF trades under the ticker ARMY on various European exchanges. In the investment industry, it really is all about the marketing. The returns come later, in theory at least. European defense has been one of the major themes in global markets this year. The ARMY ETF was launched on 7 April 2025 to take advantage of the positive sentiment towards this sector. Since inception, this ETF is up around 27%, a great return for roughly 6 months. It was up a lot more at one point, but there was a recent cooling off in the sector. Still, as a thematic play, it's been great. It's also not the only ETF that was launched in the European defense space this year. Global ETF providers are quick to respond to the themes that are driving markets, which shows you how active the thinking behind ETFs actually is. Just because the funds are rules-based doesn't make them as passive as many people think. You still have to do the work to decide which ones you want to own and in what proportion. If you came into this year holding an ETF that was around before this theme actually took off, like the Select Stocks Europe Aerospace and Defence ETF, EUAD, then you would be up 82% year to date. You didn't even have to pick a single stock to do it, you just needed to allocate capital to a specific theme in response to a major shift in geopolitics. Easier said than done, obviously, but the point is that the age-old concept of a rising tide that lifts all boats is something to look out for. Now, one of the most interesting things about the markets is that you can pick where you want to be on the value chain for a specific theme. If Europe is spending a fortune on defense, then you don't necessarily have to own the companies actually making the tanks. The European defense theme has not gone unnoticed by one of the JSE-listed property funds. Sirius Real Estate is focused on the UK and German property markets, and the fund has a reputation for doing astute deals. Buy low and sell high is easy in theory and tough in practice, but Sirius has a track record of actively managing properties to do exactly this. How do they do it? From what I've observed, the typical approach is to find buildings with near-term opportunities to enhance rental income through lease renewals. For example, if you have a strong anchor tenant and you have a great balance sheet as a listed fund, then you can invest in improvements to the property and then increase the rentals for smaller tenants as their leases become due for renewal. Eventually, the anchor tenant will also have little choice but to take a higher rental. With rentals optimized, the property is then valued at a premium, and Sirius offloads it to property investors with a more passive strategy that is typical of the large institutional REITs. Rinse and repeat. As in most sectors, property ultimately comes down to supply and demand. If you own a property that is aimed at a sector with low levels of activity, then you'll be begging tenants to stay, and the returns will be poor. Conversely, if there's plenty of activity and not much new space being built, then you can be picky as the landlord and you can name your price. This is precisely why Sirius has identified the defense sector as an appealing place to invest in terms of the properties occupied by these companies. From a security and technology perspective, I can imagine that these properties have specialist requirements. Their location will also make a significant difference in terms of supply chain and availability of skills. To help Sirius figure this all out, they hired retired Major General Angus Fay to advise them on the real estate requirements of the sector. That tells you that the relationships are important too. It hasn't taken them long to allocate capital to this space, with Sirius recently announcing the acquisition of a business park near Munich in Germany for 43.7 million euros. The anchor tenant is in the defense space, optical and photonic solutions to be exact, so not exactly big guns rolling off the production line. And the other tenants are various industrial players. The anchor tenant's lease has just over 10 years to go, and Sirius will look for opportunities to achieve rental uplifts from the other tenants who occupy 28% of the park. This is of course just one property in the vast portfolio at Sirius, so I'm not for a second suggesting that buying Sirius is a proxy for owning European defense stocks. It's not. Instead, I'm showing that when a global theme really takes off, you'll see companies in unexpected sectors climbing on that bandwagon as well. In a year where Europe is a positive theme overall, Sirius is not exactly doing badly with a 32% year-to-date return. Best of all, you didn't even need a European trading account for this. You can buy Sirius right here on the JSE. If you're going to compare Sirius to the European defense stocks, though, you would need to adjust for the currency. Much as the rand has been strong this year versus the dollar, the same can't be said against the euro. While we are getting our passports stamped in Europe, we may as well touch on the technology stocks. I'm not including Prosus here because you can buy that in South Africa, and I'm so glad that I did back in January. Instead, I'm going to focus on the only other two names of any global relevance in European tech. That is ASML and SAP. We can just use the USD-denominated listings for consistency here because I want to compare these stocks to the NASDAQ 100, which is up 21% year-to-date. ASML has been good for 47.5% year-to-date, so that's a strong return from the chip equipment manufacturer. The same cannot be said for SAP, up just 8% year-to-date. If you owned both with an equal weighting coming into this year, you would be up nearly 28%, ahead of the NASDAQ 100, for now at least. ASML is another great example of being further up the value chain in a particular theme. The company is famous for its lithography machines, and particularly the extreme ultraviolet lithography machines that nobody else in the world manufactures. This technology is used to make the cutting-edge chips that are powering the AI boom. ASML's customers include the most important chip manufacturers in the world, like Taiwan Semiconductor Company, Intel, and Samsung. It's therefore not hard to see why the company is having a good year. SAP, on the other hand, is a great example of a company that is trying hard to clutch at the theme of AI without directly participating in it in a way that really rewards shareholders. We've seen this play out at other major software companies that have been forced to try and adapt to the new world. To SAP's credit, you would be a lot worse off right now in Adobe and Salesforce, down 20% and 23% year-to-date, respectively. This brings us to the final theme that I want to cover on the podcast this week, from software as a service, or SaaS, to AI. You see, SaaS was all the rage in the years leading up to the pandemic. The market was in love with the recurring income and the high margins, and it is still a great business model, but AI has created a disruptive environment that makes it harder to figure out who the winners might be. This is why so much capital has rotated into the AI-related technology itself at various points in the value chain. For those who love momentum trading and investing, the AI stocks remain top of mind. For those who look to catch the next wave, rather than the one that has nearly hit the beach sand, some of these battered SaaS names do look interesting. You just have to be careful how you define battered. Although SAP's year-to-date performance might be modest, the broader European theme is still giving them a boost versus their US peers. Over 5 years, SAP is up 80%, while Salesforce is up just 2%, and Adobe is down 28%. This is why stock picking is fun, and why timing the market is important if you are going to buy individual names. As an alternative, you can of course just stick to ETFs, in which case you can still have fun picking the themes you want to own, just like that European defense story. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.